passage we're going to read this morning is very familiar to us because it talks about sheep and it talks about goats. If you're joining us for the first time, we have been going through this series over the last month at the end of the world. And the purpose isn't to tell you when the end of the world is. But as you look at the world around you, as we've seen all the bad news and the wars and the famines and the drought, look at California right now, you might be tempted to think that the world is coming to an end. And maybe it is. At some point it will, as the Bible tells us. When? Nobody knows. But we are called to be ready. And we looked at the first week, that call to use wisdom and to be ready for when Jesus Christ returns. And we followed that into the second week, asking for wisdom. And last week we talked about money, which felt a little bit strange, but that's what Jesus talked about when he gave these parables talking about the end of the world. And today we're going to carry on where we left off last week, and we're going to dive into the area of social justice and the sheep and the goats. And if you'd like to follow along, we'll dive right into it. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25 again, picking up where we left off last week from verses 31 and following. I'm reading from the NIV. You can see it on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles. Here's what Jesus says. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now listen to their response. I love the response. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? They didn't even know. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes or clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Their response. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Wow. Now, if you've been in the church for a while, you have heard this, and so the wow factor might not be there anymore. But this is quite shocking. Because we talk about faith, we talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we talk about that we don't have to do anything, it's a free gift, and Jesus came and he died on a cross because he loves us and he wants to forgive us our sins, and this is all true. But part of being a follower of Jesus, like we started in last week, managing your money, is not just about money and our time and our resources, but he moves it into this whole area of social justice and looking after those that can't look after themselves for whatever reason. He doesn't specify. He just says the people in prison, the weak, the poor, the impoverished, the hungry, the sick, look after them. And so faith is not just a belief system. Faith is a belief system in part, but it's a belief system and a faith system that then leads to action and to a lifestyle that's different than most of the world around us. This is the difference between the sheep and the goats. And for those of us that follow Jesus Christ and live it out every single day, it becomes so intuitive that sometimes you don't even know when you're doing God's work. when you're sharing your time, where you're sharing money, where you're sharing resources, where you're feeding somebody, where you're praying for somebody, where you're visiting somebody, when you open up your home to somebody to come and visit. It's just so natural you don't even know anymore. Because you're so in tune with Jesus and you're so ready for when he comes that you're willing to do whatever it takes and you're willing to be this person of faith who's living out their faith with action every single day. So then the question obviously is what does it look like to be a person of faith who lives it out in action? What does faith in action look like? Because Jesus gives us a really good description here of what it looks like. So here's just a couple of thoughts and a couple of points for us to think about. Faith in action looks like generosity. Now, last week we talked about managing our money and taking whatever God has given us and growing it and doing something with it. But we didn't talk too much about generosity last week. But in this parable, we see a whole other different dynamic about taking what God has given you and being generous with it and sharing it. Jesus says here to the sheep that one of their rewards was because they fed the hungry and the thirsty. They gave water. They were generous with their food and with their water. Leadership Magazine carried a story about four young men, Bible college students, who were renting a house together. One Saturday morning, someone knocked at their door, and when they opened it, stood before them was a beraggled-looking old man. His eyes were marbleized, and he had a silvery stub of whiskers on his face. He looked unkempt, and his clothes were far from nice. His clothes were ragged and torn. His shoes didn't match. In fact, they were both on the same feet. They were shoes of the same feet. And he carried a wicker basket full of unappealing vegetables that he was trying to sell. The boys felt sorry for him, so they bought some of his vegetables just to help him out. Then he went on his way. Small thing. But from that time on, every Saturday, this old rugged man with all of his shagged clothes and crazy wicker basket and vegetables, he appeared at the door with these baskets of vegetables. And every Saturday, the boys would buy these vegetables. And because they were buying his vegetables, they got to know him a little bit better. And soon they began inviting him into the house before continuing on to his rounds. They soon discovered that his eyes looked marbleized not because of drugs or alcohol, but because of cataracts. They learned that he lived just down the street in an old shack. They also found out that he could play the harmonica and that he loved to play Christian hymns and that he really actually loved Jesus. So every Saturday they would invite him in and he would play his harmonica and they would play Christian songs and hymns together. They became good friends, and the boys began to try and figure out ways to help him. One Saturday morning, the story says, right in the middle of their singing and praising, this old man suddenly said to them, "God is so good." And they all agreed, "Yes, God is good." He went on, "You know what? Why he's so good?" And they said, "Why?" He said, "Because yesterday when I got up and opened my door, there were boxes full of shoes and clothes and gloves that somebody had given me and left me at my door. Yes, God is good." And the boys smiled at each other and chimed in, "Yes, God is also good," because you know who gave the clothes and the books. But he went on, "You know why he's so good?" they answered. "You already told us." "Why more?" he said. "Because I found a family down the street who could use those things and I gave them all away." The sheep were generous with their life, with their food, with their sustenance. Blessed are those because you give and you feed and you give water to the thirsty. In Psalm 31, 27, the Old Testament, the psalmist writes, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they will share their food with the poor." In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 11, verse 41, "But now, as for what is inside of you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clear for you." If you want to hear God's voice, then be generous to the poor. Now, part of our culture and our society, we kind of push back at this sometimes, because sometimes the poor are there because they choose to be there, right? Because they choose to do drugs or alcohol, or they've got mental health issues or whatever else it is. And sometimes it's really easy to push back and not be generous and not feed the hungry or give water to the thirsty. But Jesus doesn't specify the who. He just specifies the action. That if you want to be a person whose faith is in action, then feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty. Faith in action is a faith that is generous. Faith in action is a faith that practices hospitality. And there's verse 34, it's not just giving the food and the money, but when did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothing you? It's this whole idea of hospitality and opening up our home to not our friends and not our family, but to strangers. Now, my generation and under, this is really bizarre. Some of you might remember the 50s and the 60s and the Leave It to Beaver, where you could go out all night long and run down the streets. And when the lights would come off, I have friends of mine that say they would run and play all day long. And when the lights came on, that's when they knew they had to go home. And they knew that they were safe and blah, 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 like that. And people would connect with each other. And it was the golden era, right? That's what you hear some people talking about. And our age, my generation and down, we're all petrified if your kid's out of your sight for 30 seconds. Stranger danger. And there is a certain wisdom about this for sure. But Jesus is also very specific here that action, faith in action, is actually a faith that welcomes and is open to strangers. Now, this is pretty crazy for many of us. Part of it's a cultural issue. Back then, in the Old Testament, if you read through the Old Testament, it was expected that when a traveler came to a city that you were supposed to open up, they would sit at the city gates, and there'd be all these travelers, and people would come, and they would take them into their house. And it was a common Middle Eastern thing to open up your home to invite guests and strangers. And we don't typically do that. But we're supposed to have that same attitude where we welcome people and open and invite them into our homes. And maybe you need to get to know them a little bit better. So there is some precaution, some wisdom that needs to be had. But what about your neighbors? What about the people that you know or go to work with or have associations with? Have you invited them into your house? Have you invited them to tea or coffee? Have you made them feel welcome? Is your house a house of hospitality? Is our church a church of hospitality? I think it's great. One of the things that I hear over and over again from our church and from people that come to church for the first time is your people are so welcoming, and that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's the reason why Alpha, that we're going to be doing in the fall, works so well, is because people, once you get past that first barrier, when you get together and you eat together, things begin to fall down, walls begin to fall down, conversations begin to happen. You get to know people for who they are, and miracles can happen. And relationships can start because you've just been hospitable and welcome them into your church, welcome them into your home, welcome them into your family. Now, some of us are naturally like this. My wife is a go-getter, open person, loves people, will talk to anybody. And most of my daughters are the same way. I can be like that, but I also like my space. And so it's sometimes a little bit harder for me because I'm task-oriented to be this welcoming, opening person. My wife will have people over, and I'm like, I've got things to do in the garage, and so I'll be off doing that or doing this. And then I have to force myself to come and sit and to be hospitable because it's just not my natural wiring. But I still need to do it. I still need to get to know people. I still need to be hospitable. Because it's one of the things that faith in action looks like. It's not just about generosity to the poor, but it's also generosity with our time and our hospitality and our homes. Make Our Friends and Strangers, it's a book, said this: you and I tend to offer hospitality to only a limited number of people, persons who we already know, mostly relatives and a few close friends. But in Abraham's time, hospitality was extended to whoever needed it, strangers and acquaintances alike. In fact, in its original form, hospitality combines two separate words, one meaning friend and the other meaning stranger. So from the beginning of its usage, hospitality has carried with it the idea of making friends out of strangers. How's that for concept? Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, and his wife Edith, they ran a house of Christian hospitality and study in Switzerland. They actually ran a house like this called the L'Abri. Hopefully I pronounced that right. They opened their hearts and their homes to hundreds of people seeking biblical answers to life's quest challenges. In her book, What is a Family? Edith offers this counsel. Every Christian home is meant to have a door that swings wide open. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 in the New Testament, Paul says, one of the other church leaders, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's not just a one-off that Jesus taught or said about the end of the world. This is a theme both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Faith in action is generous with food and water to the poor and to those that need it. But faith in action is also a faith that practices hospitality and opens up your home and allows friends and strangers to mingle and to mix and to build relationships. Generosity, hospitality. And the third one, which kind of combines them, is compassion. Caring for the weak, the sick and in prison. I'll never forget, I don't know if I've told you this story before, but it was around 15, 16 that I really felt a call that God was calling me to be a pastor, and that was, you know, not my plan at all. For those of you that know a little bit about me, I like building, I like hands-on stuff, and I hate English, and I hate languages. It was never my forte, and you probably know that sometimes with the words I make up. But I just, at a young age, I was at a retreat, and I just knew that God was calling me into ministry, and he wanted me to become a pastor, and it was really out of the blue. It was just crazy. And then I had two other people that didn't say anything to anybody. A youth pastor came up to me one night and said, you know, you should really think about going into ministry. And I was like, oh, great. And then I had another person that said the same thing. And so I decided that, okay, I'm going to go into ministry. I'm going to become a pastor and start looking at Bible colleges. And there was this guy by the name of Bob Schofield. He's passed away now. Big, huge, 6'3" guy, probably about 400 pounds. And he came to faith late in life. He used to be an ex-biker at Iraq. He'd been in and out of prison. And came to faith through the ministry of the church that I was going to. And so he started this ministry to the drop-in centers in downtown Toronto and to the prisons. He started something called Joyful News, or we called it Joyful Racket at that point. He gathered any musicians that he could find, and he would take them into the prisons and that he had been once, and they would do music and share testimonies and, you know, just try and minister to the inmates. And so when he found out that I was thinking about going into ministry and becoming a pastor, he says, okay, I'm going into this prison next week with Joyful News, and I want you to come give your testimony. The very first public speaking I ever did for church or as a testimony was in a prison. And here I am, I don't know, 110 pounds, 5'8", scrawny little white, never really done anything that bad in my life, you know. And here I am giving my testimony to a bunch of inmates in prison. It was pretty nerve-wracking and pretty crazy. And then he would take me down to the drop-in centers in downtown Toronto, Harbor Light Inn, and some of these other places. And the rule was that these organizations would have a service and you weren't allowed to get your food, because they would serve meals, until you heard the service. So he would drag me down and he would say, okay, you're preaching tonight. I was like, what? I've never preached before. I've never been to Bible college. And that was my second exposure to preaching for the first time, not just the testimony, when I would have to share these devotionals out of the Bible to a bunch of homeless people that really didn't want to hear me speak. They just wanted their food. But this is what compassion is all about. That guy had such a love for people that were down and out, for people that were in prison. Faith in action is about generosity, it's about hospitality, but it's about the compassion that comes with that, caring for the weak. When you see the person holding the cardboard sign, maybe, maybe not, you give them money, maybe you do, I don't know. Listen to God's voice. But we can still have compassion for them. We still can pray for them. Find out if there's some way we can help them. For those who are struggling with mental health issues, for those that are actually in prison, I haven't been here long enough to know if there's even a prison on the island. For those that are in the hospital or sick, for me, it's just part of my job. But for the rest of us, it should be part of our faith about who we are. Leviticus in the Old Testament, chapter 23, 22 says this. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor. So as a farmer, even in the Old Testament, when you farmed your field, you left some for the poor. And they would come by and they would collect. Same thing in the vineyard. In Luke chapter 19, verse 8, you have the story of Zacchaeus. We talked about him a few months ago. Zacchaeus is a short man. He's a tax collector. He gets up in a tree. He's hiding in the tree because he wants to see Jesus. And so Jesus knows he's up there because Jesus knows everything. Calls him down and says, I want to go to your house. And Zacchaeus is excited. And what did he opens up his house and feeds Jesus and his disciples. And then his response isn't just one of hospitality, but then he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. Here's a guy who comes to Jesus pretty much instantly on the spot, who shows hospitality, who shows generosity, who shows compassion for those around him by giving half of what he owns to the poor. What does faith in action look like? Well, it's one of generosity, of hospitality, one of compassion, caring for the weak, social justice. It's why it matters so much. So what do you do with this week? Because this can be a struggle, because it can be a struggle to apply to our hearts and our lives, because we're busy, because we're preoccupied, because many of us have built fortresses or walls around ourselves, around our families to protect ourselves, and sometimes rightly so, but sometimes those walls need to come down so that we can live out our faith and be generous and hospitable and care for the weak. So here's some questions for you to ask yourself this week. First of all, are you generous? When you stand before Jesus, this is where the rubber hits the road. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Jesus isn't talking about anything about salvation here. He's talking about how you're living out your faith. Are you generous? Well, how do I know if I'm generous? Well, as we talked about last week, if you dare, you ask. You measure. You look at your pocketbook. You look at your time management and where you spend all your time and what you do with it. And it's not too hard to quickly figure out whether you're a generous person. And even if you are a generous person, the challenge, I think, also is that, you know what? You can never be too generous. And so the question is, as you build your relationship with Jesus, it's, God, Jesus, how can I be more generous? How can I share more of my time, more of myself with other people? And what does that look like this week? Jesus, what do you want me to do? Is there somebody who's hungry in my life that I can feed? Is there somebody who needs water? Is there somebody who needs prayer? Is there somebody who needs me to do something for them, roof or something? I don't know what it is. But Jesus, what do you need me to do this week so I can be generous with my life? Because that's what Jesus is looking for. That's what sheep are, is people that are generous with their life. How about your home? In North America, our home is our fortress, isn't it? It's our space. It's our castle. It's our place of safety and protection. And we open it up to very select few people because it's our safety and our protection and our place. And so are we hospitable? I got to work hard on this one. Inviting my neighbors over, inviting people that I don't associate with normally at church or whatever else it is. When was the last time you talked to or invited a stranger or a neighbor into your home and had tea or coffee. And not even with an agenda. Not to hand them an alpha flyer, though you could do that maybe. But just to get to know them. Just to help a stranger become a friend. It's not just a pandemic, but in the last 4 or 5 years, and this is going to get way worse, is that people are going to become more and more and more isolated and lonely because of these stupid gadgets that we carry around all the time. We get lost in social media and lost in watching movies and videos and lost in all this time that we just fritter away on these little screens at the expense of real relationships and real people. And the world is going to need believers and Christians and followers of Jesus Christ who are willing to open up their homes and be friends to strangers and people that are lonely. And that is only going to grow in leaps and bounds. Are you hospitable? When was the last time you opened up your home? Then be wise about it. And be in conversation with Jesus to ask when and who and how. But maybe this week it's, Jesus, who can I invite into my home? Who can I invite out for coffee? And maybe it's not even to your home. Maybe it's just to a Tim Hortons or something somewhere else. Or you can invite them to the women's walk or the men's walk or the different things that go on in our lives. When was the last time you invited a stranger into your life, into your home? And lastly, a heart check. When you drive by somebody on the streets or in the shopping plaza or wherever you are, and they're messed up and you know it. Sometimes it's not hard to see. Or sometimes they're just making a judgment call. Maybe they're not as messed up as we think they are, like those 4 young Bible college students. But do you have compassion for those that are struggling with so much in life? And I know prayer for me is just, God, help me to be more compassionate for those people, because I can have such a razor hard heart sometimes because, they just deserve it. Why don't they just go get a job? I mean, you fill in the blanks. We can come up with the judgment calls and the accusations so quick, right? But I want to have that heart of compassion like Jesus had and like sheep are supposed to have so that I can live out my faith. Are you generous? Are you hospitable? Are you compassionate? Are you brave enough to pray to God to ask him to give you the opportunities this week and the wisdom to live your faith in action? Let's pray. Maybe you're here this morning or you're listening online and you've never had a relationship with Jesus. This whole idea of being a sheep or a goat, like, what are you talking about? And the idea is that we're given this privilege, this honor to know Jesus and to hear from him and to have a relationship with a God that loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that we first of all could be forgiven, because he showed compassion on us because of the wrong things that we've done and thought that separate us from him. We can't be a sheep on our own strength. We need a relationship with Jesus. We need his Holy Spirit living inside of us. And you can just ask him for that. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me my sins. And at that moment, you enter into a relationship with the God of creation. And for the rest of us that have been Christians for weeks, months, decades, the world is so full of bad stories and corruptness and sin and destruction and evil that sometimes our hearts get hard. And sometimes it's difficult for us to live out this faith in action and to be the sheep that you've called us to be, to open up our hearts and our lives to those around us and to be compassionate. Jesus, give us opportunities this week to share our faith in tangible ways in ways that will help people, that will build relationships, that will make strangers friends. For this we pray in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.